Today on Real Radio.
Let me tell you up front right now so you don't have to leave early. You're going to have a sense, especially if you're a female today. If you're a woman today, you're going to have a hard time with this because immediately your emotions are going to try to interpret the scripture. And by the way, if you're a man today, your emotions are going to try to interpret the scripture.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a series of passages that are by far among the most discussed, debated, and even misunderstood in church history. The section of chapter 11, which is the basis for our study today, it's where Paul deals with the issues like hair length for men and women and husbands being the head of the home. It's a riveting section of scripture indeed. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Authority, Submission, and Love.
1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we pick it up where we left off now in verse 2 of chapter 11. If you remember, chapter 11, verse 1 belongs to chapter 10. You say, well, what gives you the right to say that? Because the Bible was given with no chapter breaks. And it's a theological fact that verse 1 of chapter 11 concludes the argument of chapter 10. Chapter 11 really begins in chapter 2 because why? It starts a whole new argument. And the argument is this, and it's in our title today. It is authority, submission, and love. Will you write that down? Authority, submission, and love. Three words that ignite memories, passion, feelings. It causes our emotions to get engaged, but we need to be, as believers, bringing this under our spiritual or new man control, as Paul would put it. As we get into this message this morning, a couple of things I want you to know about. Remember this, so notorious was the culture at Corinth that if you wanted to hurl an insult at somebody in the first century Roman world, you would call them a Corinthian. Wherever you were in the Roman Empire, which at that time stretched from the area today of Scotland and Ireland and Wales, and it would go all the way eastward to areas of Western Russia and into the areas of Iraq and Persia today. Massive, all the way down into North Africa, the Roman Empire. No matter where you were in the empire, if you wanted to insult somebody, you would say to them, what a Corinthian. Today, we would maybe say, what a Northern Californian you are. Right, anybody visiting from Northern California? I don't want to know if you are. But it's a totally different culture, right? I mean, it's like, what? And if you were a person labeled as a Corinthian, you were very carnal. You were very, very debased in your conduct. You were very fleshy. And even the Romans acknowledged that very carnal activity. It is believed, by the way, by scholars that the most liberal, decadent, immoral city that the Apostle Paul ever visited in his ministry career was the city of Corinth. And as Christians today, so as they were back then, you and I must keep in mind what is being taught in relation to our culture. At the same time, Christian, remembering that you and I are now new creations in Christ. I'm going to ask you to write down a verse by introduction. It's Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Everybody needs to remember this as we get into this deep water this morning. Galatians 3:28 says this, that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Make that at the top of your notes today. Remember as we go through this, you are a new creation in Christ. God does not look down from heaven and say, well, you know what? I love you more because you're poor, or I love you more because you're rich. I love you more because you're a slave or more because you're a master? He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I love you more because you're a female or more because you're a male. God doesn't see that. Do you understand that? He doesn't look at you and say, I love you more because you're black or I love you more because you're white or any color in between. Do you understand that God does not look at humanity that way? That alone shocks us from the get-go. There is no greater power on the face of the earth that can bridge or span the division of humanity and our hypocrisy and our segregation than a true view of who Jesus Christ is. In heaven, God is not segregating the whites and the blacks and the Puerto Ricans and the Russians. He doesn't do that. You and I will be in heaven with all the nations of the earth having been redeemed under Jesus Christ. Every color of pigment in the world will be praising the Lord, glorified in Christ. Why? We are new creations, and I want you to remember that because heaven is going to be an amazing experience. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the minds of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Heaven is going to be an amazing place. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4, that it's even unlawful for a man to speak of the things of heaven should he see them. Paul had that experience. And so 1 Corinthians 11 is this passage that deals with the question of headship, of submission, of love. And as one old commentator said, should women wear hats in church or the pants at home? He's going to talk about that stuff. The role of men, the role of women, and the role of Christ. It's very powerful. So listen, church, grab your Bibles, and here we go together. And I can feel the hair on your neck start to rise as we get into this reading. Paul says, verse 2, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. The traditions are the ancient teachings given by God. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying and prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Your Bible should have head, capital H, meaning Christ. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, that is man. For that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn or shaved. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shaved or shorn or shaved, hair cut off, let her be covered. Verse 7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image of the glory of God. But a woman is the glory of man, for man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol, you ought to underline that, of authority on or over her head. And a strange statement because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is a man independent of a woman, nor a woman independent of a man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman, but all things are of God. Judge among yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, want to fight about it? We have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. What does it mean if you're a woman today and you have short hair? What does it mean today if you're a man and you've lost your hair? What does it mean today to be covering over submissive, authoritative, and the love of God? This is powerful stuff. So this morning, mark it down, number one, regarding authority, submission, and love, verses 2-7, we learn this from the Bible, that authority, submission, and love is wrapped in this context of redemption. As seen in redemption is authority, submission, and love. Number one, this way, that authority in the life and the purpose of man, that is essential. As seen in redemption, the message that Paul is talking to the Corinthian believers about, church, is that there is an authority, and that is seen in redemption, that God is speaking to us, And it's announcing the life and the purpose of man. And note takers this morning, there is a play on words here regarding man. Yes, it means a man as a male. Yes, the word also means man as mankind. Mankind, you know, involves, includes, must have male and female, mankind. You as a human are a member of mankind, be it male or female. And this is very important. Authority, God says it matters. He says in verse 3, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. He announces this, making a declaration, church, of a very, very powerful truth. Redemption and the purpose of man is this, to recognize that Christ is the Redeemer. He's the Savior. You sang a moment ago worship songs to whom? Regarding what? Christ our Savior. That the Lord is a warrior, Dominic sang. What does that mean? Number one thing is God fights our lost condition. God fights that. He is a warrior in the sense that he brings us a rescue. He brings us salvation. And that obviously is the purpose of man, is to know God. And through that truth, experience life. The Bible teaches us throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, that the ultimate truth about who Christ is that he is the Savior, the leader, the head, the authority over mankind itself. Romans chapter 12. Am I talking fast? I was thinking of the reggae thing. I'm thinking if I could teach like Dominic can sing, I could get through all my notes every service. You realize the value of that? I'm gonna have him teach me that. Romans 14:11 says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee should bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. That is in the day of judgment. The authority of Christ in redemption is that he presides over mankind. Church, listen. Does Jesus Christ love humanity? Is this true? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Is that true? Yes. That is an absolute truth of God, and it reveals the very nature of God. God is love. And you need to keep this in mind. God's authority, don't let our culture invade that word. Don't let your previous experiences tamper with that word. God's authority over mankind is rooted in his nature. The more you know his nature of who he is, the more you will love up to, get close to, enjoy the authority of God. It is a good, wonderful thing. His authority as a purpose and as a life for mankind. The Bible says in Philippians 2:10, supporting Romans chapter 14, which supports the book of Isaiah. Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, that is the spirit realm. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Verse 11 tells me this morning that that's the great cosmic battle today in the world around us. Is Jesus Christ, is he Lord over your life? This is the issue. I kid you not. I can prove this if I had the time. This is the issue regarding the United Nations. This is the issue regarding people in the world today. If they know about him or not, the issue is Jesus Christ Lord? The moment you bowed your knee to Jesus Christ, honestly, that he is Lord, it changes your entire look on life, your entire lifestyle. It changes your eternal destination. If Jesus Christ was embraced and understood to be the Lord that he is by all people, then you know how people want peace on earth? There would be peace on earth. There wouldn't be these Islamicist radicals in Somalia watching the news today slaughter the Somali people. You see them dying by the thousands right now. That wouldn't be happening. There wouldn't be what's going on in Washington right now if Jesus was Lord. Listen, downtown LA wouldn't have homeless people if Jesus was Lord. This is a serious issue. Now, don't misunderstand me. Jesus will come back and he will establish his kingdom. The church, I want to make this very clear, the church will never establish his kingdom on earth. You understand that? This is heresy, where people teach that the church can take over governments and take over nations and usher in the kingdom. That's heresy. Jesus is going to return. But in the world that you and I live in, every person should know in our lives that know us, believer or non-believer, you know what? Jesus is Lord in that guy's life. Everywhere they go, they're a blessing to people. Everywhere they go, they're, wow. Why is that true as believers? Why should this church make a difference in the world? Because of the authority of God. It's the authority of God. Church, listen, are you with me? That causes us to jump up and say, yes, I get to do this for Jesus. Not, oh no, I guess I have to do this for Jesus. We revel in his authority. And that's our purpose. And every man, now I'm going to talk to the men, every man in this room, if you're a Christian today, and the word means if you're not a Christian, mankind, if you are a human man, a human being, you are to show submission to Jesus Christ. And you might say today, I don't believe in God. That's your problem, not mine. And believe me, it's a big problem you have. The Bible says that you, by very, very position and place, are to be yielding authority to the Lord Jesus Christ in all of your decision making and all of your living, and that's never more true than a Christian man. A Christian man should be a living example. You know, I thought at that, all the women would have shouted amen at that. All Christian men should be a living, breathing example of what it means for a man to have the authority of Christ over his life. That a man is to be seeking the will of God for his life, for his wife, for his children, for his city, for his nation, for his world. The Christian man should be, you know what? We should have a hard time distinguishing the difference between a Christian man and Jesus when he walked on earth. So caring, so loving, so compassionate. None of this dictatorial, authoritative idea of woman, submit to me, I'm the man. Nobody speaking by the Spirit of God can talk to their wife or children or their culture that way. Nobody should show up and say, look, I'm a man, I'm ordained by God, submit to me, all you ends of the earth. That's wrong. That's not Christ. Which leads us to this. In verse 3 it says, and the head of a woman is man. Two understandings are here. Number one, the context of marriage. Preeminently, of course. And number two, most scholars say that this word also means, because it's found in Scripture, is regarding spiritual authority. And we'll talk about that in a minute and what it means. It's very important. Submission in the life and the purpose of a woman sounds so foreign in our culture today. And that it says here, in the head of a woman is man. I have to tell you something before I get into this. I could probably get in trouble about this, but I can tell you this, that sociologists tell us that that probably the most destructive movement in modern history has been the feminist movement. You know, look, I'm 50-something. After 50, you forget. I think I'm 53. I'm not exactly sure. But after 50, it doesn't matter because you just forget. So here's the thing. I grew up in an age where my sister was 10 years older than me at the time. And I remember growing up in that era of, what is it, 60s and 70s? I remember seeing women declare their independence and freedom. The feminist movement has arrived and we are going to be free, independent. And look, you guys, I lived in Orange County, San Diego County, and then Orange County. You guys, in the 60s and 70s, I saw women as a young kid take off their tops and burn their bras. And there may be bra burners in here. You may be of that age. And what's amazing, we're free. Oh yeah, great. Yeah, we're gonna burn our bras. Okay. And what they celebrated as freedom back then, now they've gotta go to the doctor to fix their mistakes. You know what I'm saying about that? I burned my bra in the 60s and now I need to get a lift in the 90s or whatever. Why? I'm free. Hey, listen, freedom has responsibilities. And just because you can burn your bra doesn't mean you're free. The feminist movement destroyed families. It destroyed marriages. It destroyed children. It destroyed, number one, women. It was a terrible thing. And honestly, I don't mean to start a fight, but I can't figure out, because of course the source was secular and godless, but I can't find a good thing that came out of the feminist movement that benefits the woman today. It was the feminist movement that caused pornography to explode. And there's a long litany of cultural results of all of that. Listen, believe it or not, as a Christian man, as a Christian woman, and Jesus Christ himself would say as Messiah, there's liberty in submission. There's liberty. Jesus, we're going to see, is our example of what submission should be. And all around the world right now, there is the growth and the advancement of the religion of Islam. And if you know Arabic, Islam, the word Islam in Arabic is submit. And we're going to hear a lot about submission and what it is and what it is not. Submission, write this down. You're going to want to write this down. Submission based upon biblical theology cannot mean tyranny. It cannot mean imposition. It cannot mean obligation. Did you hear what I said? Submission cannot mean and does not mean in biblical context, you must submit. If you want that kind of a treatment, then you're going to need to join a cult. Because the truth of the matter is God invites, he invites us to submit. Is that cool? A husband should say, honey, look, sweetie, let me tell you a secret right now. You need to pray for me. Because in the end, I have to stand before judgment of Christ. First of all, number one, just for being born a man, I'm going to be in trouble for that. Because God expects, I didn't make it up, God expects certain things out of my life. And one of it is make sure that you and this family gets to heaven on time. And sweetheart, that terrifies me. And so I need you to help me and support me and pray for me because frankly, I don't know quite what I'm doing. It's terrifying. And I'm going to stand before God and give an answer for this in the end. And I need you. I need you very, very badly because I want to and I have to be able to love you like no man on the planet could have ever loved you. And so because I'm going to be held responsible for that, I submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says that you, in submission to me, pray for me, support me, help me in this venture. So, honey, let's do this. Why? Because you and I are not independent from one another. We are a team, and we're going to come across the finish line together. And if a man has some other view than that, it's not biblical. Listen, clue. Wife, if your husband puts you in a headlock and says, submit, God's not speaking right now at that time, okay? Not going to happen. Not God's will. Submission, the life and the purpose of a woman is freedom. It's an amazing statement. The Bible says, by the way, in Ephesians 5:21, regarding marriage, submitting to one another in the fear of God, in the awe and reverence of God, wives must submit, or wives submit, excuse me, to your own husbands as to the Lord. See the connection? You say, why should I submit to that knucklehead of mine? Because listen, God knows he's your husband and God wants you to honor his position. Look, I could not disagree more, and I have not disagreed more in my lifetime than with this president. But let me tell you something, he's the president.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the last section of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The title of this study, Authority, Submission, and Love. It's actually a mini-series that takes a look at one of the most discussed, debated, and even most misunderstood passages in church history. Authority, Submission, and Love. That's the title of this series within a series, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, here on most Friday editions of Real Radio, we've got a feature called Ask Pastor Jack, where Pastor Jack answers questions sent in by you, Real Radio listeners. That is, of course, when we're able to drag him into the studio, which, by the way, we're not able to do today. In the meantime, if you've got a question for Pastor Jack, email it to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.